You're listening to the Buns.com podcast network.
Buns, buns, buns.
Hey guys, we're back. Another episode of the Crystal Ballroom. This time we have John Orpheus. He is a Trini troubadour and Pan-African poet. And we sat down and talked to him and his musical partner, Sarah Jane, about Goat Life. Now, if you don't know what Goat Life is, it's a culmination of a 2-year, 4-mixtape project. It's equal parts hip-hop, dancehall, and afrobeats. So check it out. Here we go.
Hey Buns, welcome to another episode of the Crystal Ballroom. As always, I'm going to let the guests introduce themselves so that you know what their voices sound like. So, take it away.
Yo, what's up? I'm J.O. from John Orpheus, and this is Buns Mystery Beer opening.
Oh no!
You're going to have to let me know, does it taste good?
How's it? It's like an IPA ting.
Yeah.
It's a dark brew ting. But it's quite refreshing.
Yeah, you like it?
So far, so good. But okay. That was just the don't let it spill on the table sip. I'll let you know. Sarah, right. Over to you.
Over to me, John. Okay, so I go by Sarah Jane Rigler. I am a drummer with John Orpheus. I originally hail from Northern Michigan and also wear the hat of a DJ around town here and there.
Oh, wow. Okay, so there's definitely some stories here.
Oh, yeah.
Let's start it. At the beginning, then, you told us that you're from Michigan. Where did you grow up?
From is a complicated question for me. I was born in Caracas in Venezuela. I was a kid in Trinidad.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Canada. I lived in a bunch of places, including Scarborough and New York City and Kitchener.
Well, when did you really get into music? not playing, but like, I mean, when did you realized that you had a serious interest in music? And where were you at that point?
When I was 3 years old, my grandmother, who taught me two things. She taught me how to read, because she needed to read the Bible, but her eyes were bad.
So okay.
I was like the reader of the Psalms.
Yeah.
And she was always singing, like to wake up, to go to bed, when happy, when sad, hungry, full. And so she taught me how to sing. And that's kind of my first kind of thing where I was like, oh, this is fun.
All right. So probably roots in gospel then at some point?
Well, Trinidad music. So like soca, calypso, gospel, reggae, but not really gospel the way it's like they do it in America, but more
right.
Gospel the way Pentecostal churches do it, where you kind of freak out a bit, you yell for a bit.
Right on.
You may hit a note, but you'll feel real good.
Maybe that informs the live show, too. And you, did you start playing music in Michigan?
Yeah. So actually, I feel like my musical origins started in dance class. So my parents put me in dance class when I was 3. And I was really bad at ballet, but I was very good at tap dancing. And so I feel like rhythm just was put in my body when I was little. And I did dance class from like 3 to like 14 years old.
Wow.
And then in band class in middle school, they wanted me to play drums. I actually really wanted to play saxophone, and my band director was insistent on me playing drums. So I kind of didn't really give a shit for a few years. I was just being a teenager, and then started playing music outside of school professionally and got pretty serious. And then from there, I ended up taking a bunch of music lessons, specifically for like drums and percussion. I did some jazz drum set. I did a bunch of, I'm from the States, so we're really big on marching bands. So I was doing like marching snare drum. And then I ended up doing my bachelor's degree in music and percussion in Michigan.
Wow.
And then why I moved here is 6 years ago, I came here to do my master's at University of Toronto. So it's just been a bit of a winding kind of vibe.
So you went from really not caring to really, really caring.
Really all in, like, yeah, all chips on the table kind of thing.
And where does the DJ part kind of fall into that whole timeline?
That's a very recent. So I started playing, I'm about to turn 29. I started playing drums and percussion professionally when I was about 14, 15. And literally just about 8 months ago, I started DJing. So.
And how did you guys come together?
Well,
started just down the road, actually, at the Cameron House.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cameron House.
Yeah.
You tell the story. You tell the story.
You good. I love your version of the story. Please tell.
My version of the story. Well, oddly enough, it started with beer, as I take a sip.
All the greatest stories do, I think.
So I went to the Cameron House because, you know, if you're walking down Queen Street, Cameron House, they have music every night.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's that country, rootsy, old-timey shit usually. So,
yeah.
Can I swear on this?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Say whatever you want.
Great. Yeah, we're all potty mouths.
In the words of Biggie Smalls, motherfucking right.
Yeah, there you go.
So I always love when I'm kicking it, you walk down, you go in and check out what's happening. So I go in one night, random, and you go to a bar, and it's pack up. And, of course, it's the tiniest bar in the world. And so you're always waiting forever for your beer. So while I'm waiting, I'm listening to the band. I'm like, oh, yo, this drummer's nice. So then I was like, I just keep listening.
Yeah.
I'm not getting any closer. So I abandoned the beer so I could go and check out, see the stage.
Yeah.
Wind my way through. And it's Sarah playing drums with like an all-country band. I'm like, yo, this girl's dope. So then I came and talked to her after. And within three sentences,
yeah,
we started a band. And it proclaimed it the greatest band ever. And
amazing.
Gave each other our like abbreviated history. So it was just like, she was playing country, but she studied African drumming,
right,
out in Ghana, and she was into hip hop. And I was like, yo, that's dope. Cause my dream was always to take African rhythms and build like pop tune over them.
Right.
And so then we spent 9 months just talking about how great our band is and not actually playing any music.
Yeah.
And then finally we're like, all right, we're gonna play. And then it was like the band at that time was like seven people and horns. It was like the Roots.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Did it live up to the greatness though?
What's that?
Did it live up to the greatness?
Well, at that point it was just like I was already doing that. So I was like, well, why don't you come play drums and that'll be like, we'll get to our band through doing that. And
yeah,
then eventually we just got rid of people, a lot of people, and then we ended up just us. And then she did exactly what we talked about. She laid down a bunch of African rhythms, and then a weird thing happened when I started singing on it. I was like, whoa, I started speaking Trini. I started singing in Trini, which I'd never done ever in my life.
Really?
So our band was actually better than we thought.
Nice.
And we thought it was great.
So let me just take you back for a second
for sure.
The Cameron House. Mm-hmm. Did you know, hearing that sort of country roots stuff, that, you know, this was the drummer for you at that point? Like, because it seems like a kind of a stretch.
Well, it's not a stretch because it's like, I don't know. I'm like, I spent my whole life playing music, right?
Yeah.
And played on a lot of stages and ting. And so first thing first, I drop into the Cameron House randomly because I love that shit.
Yeah.
So that's not a barrier for me. But then also the fact that she was like, you know, I have a degree in music, I've studied percussion, and if you're a player, you can tell when someone knows what they're talking about. And so, but it was kind of an instant vibe of like, you know, she knew her African music, she knew her hip hop music, she knew that stuff. And that's one of my favorite things, because I'm like not really a, you know, I feel like if you just listen to one genre of music, then you're not a very good musician.
Right.
And so I always look for diversity and fluidity in musicians. And so, yeah, it wasn't a stretch at all. It started with that, but I could tell right away that there was a lot of other things happening. And that was something that I was, you know, that's something I'm about.
And right, so on. And do you think that sort of wide-spanning genre, love of genres kind of translates into your music?
Damn right.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me.
Oh.
Wait, keep up.
Oh. She's enjoying herself in the sun over here.
Is she not
going
to be in the interview? Because I'd like the dog to be in the interview. No, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think people always, I mean, all the time, I've never played in a band that someone was like, okay, you easily fit into this category.
Right.
Or I know three artists that are just like this thing that you're doing.
Right.
Never. It's always been people, if you experience it, you love it, but you can't really fit it in anywhere. And that's because, again, I love lots of different types of music and they're all part of me. They're all important to me.
Yeah.
So when, you know, and Sarah's the same way.
Yeah.
So when you sit down to write a tune, you're not being authentic to yourself if you just stick to one little corner of what you're into.
Right.
You know, people want the full expression, the full spectrum of what you do. And so, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I would say that's the defining characteristic. It's diverse. It can be a lot of things, but it's always going to be a thing that's unique and a multitude.
Right.
Just like people.
People are
never one thing, right?
We have very, you know, both of us have very diverse backgrounds and explored a lot of different kinds of music. And even with our, when we're pushed to kind of put a name to it, we've been calling it Pan-African hip-hop, and so that's this idea of Pan-Africanism is like Africa and the diaspora, so not just sub-Saharan Africa but South America, Central America, the Caribbean, North America, because we pull influences. Well, it's this shared culture that's just made this feedback loop over time, over the last like 400 years, and you find a lot of similar rhythms, and I mean everything shared, everything, trauma, history, expression, spirituality. So, you know, there's a big Caribbean influence in our music, and there's a big West African influence, there's a big North American influence, there's, you know, so.
Yeah, and them drums is like, them drums, if you play like those beats, they're bumping them in Lagos, they're bumping them in Port of Spain, Trinidad, they're bumping them in Atlanta,
Salvador,
like
all the
beats are, the drums is what unifies, and that's a real thing, and I feel like that's, you know, it's kind of the secret sauce.
I agree. I think rhythm translates everywhere. You know, people just want to move.
Rhythm is a dancer.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I'm just going to be doing pop references all day.
Some cover songs on this podcast. Yeah. So, you know, talking about diversity and inspiration, where does the inspiration come from for the latest album? It's Goat Life.
It is Goat Life.
Goat Life is the culmination of a process we decided once we got started actually being a band, that makes music.
Yeah, we were trying to figure it out, right? Because as you were saying, we have such a big diverse background. So we're like, what happens when the two of us work together? Like, what is that? What does that sound like? Because we're going to mash up our both individually so many diverse backgrounds.
Right.
So like let's put a strategy to this, a game plan, if you will. So we were like, let's do 4 mixtapes. And originally we were going to do them all and release them all in the year. But we didn't make them all in the year. So we're like, every 3 months, we're going to go in, we're going to make a new mixtape of like 5 to 7 songs. We just want to capture that moment in time. And we just want to move through that process. So there's almost, you can't even think about it too much. It's like, let's just do, keep doing more.
And it's coming, like starting with a whole, like really what we did for like 9 months was just talk about what the band is, and really when you think about a band's an idea
and a relationship,
like and a relationship. It's because you think the members of the band can change, the logo of the band can change, the genre of the band can change, but ultimately if those relationships are there and the idea is there, then the band's there. And so we did that for a long time, and then we were like, okay, now let's wrap some sounds around this. And this was the way we came up with to kind of find the sounds that reflected all the ideas and our relationship and all the things we are into and talk about and matter to us.
I imagine that it evolves over time, though. Do you think that the idea at month one was the same at the end of month 9?
I think a question back to you is this. Don't you think that when you meet someone, when you meet a person, there's a spark that happens? And I feel like you can learn a ton about that person. You can hang out a lot, not hang out at all, or both. In sequence. But the original spark of why you got together in the first place stays the same. That's what I find.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
With my best friends. And so I feel like it's the same thing, because really all a music thing is a relationship.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a relationship of ideas, of vibe, of style, of respect, of, you know, that's what it is. And so I feel like, yes, the core thing is still the thing from Cameron House way back when.
Wow, nice. Mm-hmm.
And we're just figuring out new ways to express it.
Does it ever get difficult pulling in all these like influences and you know, all this genre bending? Does it ever get difficult in the writing process? Because I imagine, and I mean, this isn't a knock, but if you were a band like AC/DC as an example, like, you know what you're going for before you even start.
Yeah,
you know?
The thing though is that, is it difficult to be yourself?
Well, but you're not acting alone though, right?
Yeah, but right. We're being ourselves.
We're being ourselves collectively.
That's not hard.
So and that's what it is. It's like, it's, and you know, like I said, we did work on this strategy, because it's all about refining a strategy, because like, we're just allowing whatever wants to flow through to flow through. And then we also have a producer too. So there's like, you know, there's we're all collectively working together, but we're all just like putting together raw material of us just being our absolute selves and what comes together. And that's what this band is. Like, it's just like uniting that.
When I heard the beat, when we, so Sarah processes, Sarah lays down the beats, the rhythms.
Yeah.
Mike, God damn it, Michael, shout out. like chops it up, and he comes back with some things, you know, we play on it, we bounce it back and forth, and then we come with a music thing, and then I open my mouth to sing on it, and I'm just being myself. I'm not thinking, oh well, you know, this is happening, so we need to do this. I'm like, what's the freshest thing I could possibly do, or the funnest thing I could possibly do, or the most vulnerable thing I could possibly do? So the things that it's not a forced process, and therefore it doesn't get difficult.
That's good
because she's doing what's natural to her, Mike's doing what's natural to him, and I'm doing what's natural to me in response to each other. And that's, like I say, I mean, the one thing we've got the market cornered on is being who we are, isn't it?
That's perfect.
No one else can do it. And it's been cool to see like the end product of all this, because even so, like our producer Mike that we're talking about, like he's like this incredible like noise guitarist, right? So not necessarily the person you would think would be making this Pan-African hip hop. And you know, so I'm giving him, you know, like I said, I go in there first and I record all these different loops or stems, whatever you want to think of them as, of just, I bring in African drums, African bells, rattles. Sometimes I'm just clapping. Sometimes I'm just hitting a stick on the counter, and I give him all this raw material, and the rhythms I've learned from Mali, Guinea, Senegal, but I don't give him any context. I just give him the raw material and I'm just like, you do something with this. And it's so cool to see what comes out, because it's just literally, like I said, us just in our natural kind of States,
and you know? And we can't sell Mike short. I mean, Mike is a rock and roller, and he does play loud, nasty guitar.
Yeah.
But the truth is, the reason why, of all the producers that I've worked with in my life, and I just work with him. He's my dude.
Yeah.
He's our dude. And the reason why is because, just like for the same reason that diversity, Mike could come in and we could sit down and we could go, yeah, man, let's talk about the new Kanye album, or let's reference like Radiohead's albums from the 90s.
Right on.
Let's reference the latest pop album. And we're always trading music, and it could be anything.
Yeah.
And that's what I originally loved about Mike. And then when it came to doing this stuff and we're like, yo, Mike, we're bumping Afrobeats, he was like, yeah, send me some tracks. And then by the time we got to, oh, let's work on it, he's already very fluidly, very spontaneously creating tracks that, well, people from Africa that bump Afro beats are bumping his beats, going, yo, this is dope.
Amazing.
So that kind of fluency in musical styles and genre, the openness and the willingness to go in and respond to each other real time, that's, you know, that's a very organic thing. Like, it's not like we have a lot of highfalutin ideas, but at the end of the day is like, okay, well, open your mouth and freestyle on this. Well, it's sounding Trinidadian, so come fresh. Hey, Trini boy, what are you talking about? And it's just,
yeah,
you know, we just, a lot of the stuff, Goat Life included, started as just freestyles. Just run the track, speak on from your heart.
It's good because I feel like a lot of musicians tend to overthink things and pick things to death until the kind of magic of what it was sometimes get lost. And it seems like, yeah, you got a good team putting it all together.
Well, it's, we have our moments, but at the end of the day, it's like always, I always think about Stanley Kubrick, you know, your film director.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So Kubrick says the hardest thing to do when you're making a movie is to remember the original inspiration you had when you created it.
Right.
And you let that guide you through every step. And I think that's kind of the science of it. Like, we have all these thoughts, we have all these options,
yeah,
we have all these vibes, but at the end of the day, what's the original spark that makes it crackle? And if you can hold on to that electricity, then something good might happen.
Amazing. So when I talk to people about Goat Life, I'm going to tell them it's Kubrick inspired.
Yeah, perfect.
So we talked a lot about the process and how you guys got together, but let's talk about the present now. What are you guys up to?
Well, presently, I'm wearing gold shoes and drinking.
Yes, you are.
Mystery Buns beer.
And how's it going down now after a few sips?
Oh, honestly, it's proper. You have more?
There's always more.
Let me try it.
It's actually tight. Northern Michigan would be proud of this.
Oh, actually, that's really nice.
Yeah, it's real nice.
Yeah, Buns beer.
But I'm like a Michigan beer snob kind of person.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
Fantastic.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, let's talk about what you guys are doing around the city, upcoming dates, anything you want to kind of throw out there to the world?
Well, goat life is the thing, right? You know, we love goats.
Nice.
Well, you know, people say goats, you know, the greatest of all time, is a hip hop thing.
Of course.
We like to think, you know, it's not a competition thing because, again, nobody can be you better than you. So really for us, the goat life is really being the best you every time.
Nice.
All the time.
Yeah.
But also, as a, you know, we're both of us are from the country.
Mm-hmm.
And where I grew up in Trinidad was a jungle country, and I had a goat. I had like a goat with a name, and I was responsible for it. I had to feed it. I had to make sure it grew fat.
Well, figurative and literal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, goat life. So it's literal. But the goat, that goat represents just authenticity, right? Like being who you are. Like goats. you think about a goat. A goat is resilient. A goat is kind of in the moment. They're always jumping off of stuff, running up stuff, like, you know, they chewing everything they can
possible.
Get there. Yeah. And most crucially, a goat is not afraid to be a goat.
No, they're fearless. They're absolutely fearless.
And so that's what we represent. And nice. So goat life is dope. Like it's we got, you know, we it's out. The first single video, Parachute, is out. It has its own dance. I mean, that's all I'm going to say. It's fresh. It's beautiful. And I think it's been an interesting thing because as we've gotten built on the process, this fourth mixtape has kind of been the flowering of all of them. And people are like shocked and treating us like we just appeared out of nowhere, but really it's
that global TV.
TV it blew us up.
So they got the dude, right, you know, the announcer dude in the global, and he was like in the suit and very stiff, and he really was like, oh, this is really, really great stuff you guys are doing here. And we were like, okay, yeah, we're done. So I'm gonna intro you guys. I'll put a little extra love in it for you.
Yeah.
So we finished the tune. We played Butterfly. And at the end of it, he's like, they've been living their goat life. John Orpheus.
It was the most lit it's ever been at 8:45 in the morning on Global News.
Yeah, there's definitely something in the coffee. No, they were nice to us.
They were really
super
nice.
But you know, a global national TV morning show, it's like they have a schedule. It's not like a regular music gig. First of all, load-in is 7:30 a.m.
Woo.
Second of all, it's like a schedule. So basically, they are really good at not treating you like a piece of meat.
Yeah.
While
treating you like
making sure you get what you need to get when you need to get. It's a very, because it has to be
like tight ship. Yeah.
There's not no, oh, like we're 10 seconds late.
Yeah.
Like that's just not a thing. So I respect how hardworking and how organized you have to be to just make it run. But it was definitely, we were the weirdos on the scene having to be like very, but not really.
But that's the best part though, right? Oh, yeah. You stand out.
We're the musician weirdos, but at the end of the day, all the announcers are showbiz too, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, and it's the big chorus mothership down on Queens Quay. So right. Like we come in and the girl from
YTV
is getting her makeup done with the makeup lady, and we're all kicking it in the collective green room, and it's kind of like, oh yeah, we're all doing the same thing,
right?
It's just a different kind of showbiz. You in showbiz too, man?
Yeah. No hair and makeup for me though. Yeah, I pick the lazy one.
You can't improve perfection.
So what's up next for the music? What's any future plans?
Oh, well, sure, of course. Sure, yeah. Sure. Like the big thing is this, the summer of Goat Life. I mean, if you haven't like really spent some time with the mixtape, like you should, because we think it's beautiful. We think it's very Toronto today.
Nice. Learn the dance.
And learn the dance for Parachute. Check our video on YouTube.
Check the video. Yeah. We also released a lyric video for Goat Life.
The song Goat Life.
Yeah. It is a song
titular
called
track.
Goat
Life. Yes,
exactly. It's beautiful. And it's like, and we've got another video coming up for Lost,
August,
which is
mid-August.
Like, beautiful track. Already shot it. We kind of shot it in the first, it was same time we did Parachute. It was a marvelous weekend.
Nice.
And we're going to release that single as well. And we're going to, you know, shows throughout the, like, Toronto, but, you know, Kitchener, Hamilton, Ottawa. We're going to go back to Michigan. We just did a small little tour of Michigan. We're going to go back
in the near future at
some point. We have
right
to
on.
Be very low, hush-hush about it.
Okay. I won't tell.
And actually on Saturday, we start the process for the album, like the full length proper album thing.
Right on.
Yeah, because you've been doing these four mixtapes, you know, and they're like 5 to 7 songs each. But as we were mentioning, you know, it was to refine this process, to find our sound. And now that we have the process refined, we got our sound pretty down. It's like, okay, let's sit down and do a full length album.
And by the way, we do some events every now and then.
Yes, quite frequently in the
city. We got a few people that roll with us.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So about a year ago, we started, it's kind of a collective and event series called House Orpheus, like H-A-U-S, like the German word for house. So we've got back in the day when we used to have our big bands, the guy who played saxophone for us, he became co-owner of this really beautiful gallery. It's right across from the AGO in Dundas. It's called Art Square. And so about a year ago, he approached us and was like, hey, do you want to start doing events here? And we had already been kind of talking about it amongst ourselves because we're just out and about in the scene here. And, you know, Toronto is just bursting at the seams with really dope artists of all kinds, you know, MCs, spoken word artists, dancers, singers. And so we wanted to put on our own events. And, you know, there's a lot of power and curation and deciding who gets to take up space and whose voices are going to be heard. So we really wanted to promote, you know, we have from day one between us, you know, when we took those first 9 months and we were talking about what we stand for and what we believe in and what we want to be, two things that kept coming up was this idea of Pan-Africanism and intersectional feminism. So that is kind of the foundation for everything we do. So us being able to curate our own events and put on our own events, it's like we can actually, you know, take part in community, build community, bring people together, feature certain people. So we first started the series called House Orpheus Presents that was once a month. That's rolled out into a couple different events. So now we do an open mic night once a month called
Speak Your Truth.
It's wonderful. Wow. So we've got like 12 open mic spots, and that's everything from people do trap songs, people do spoken word pieces, you can do comedy, anything with words.
Honestly, it's the flyest mic. I've been to a lot of open mics. I gotta say it's the flyest open mic in the city.
And supportive.
Because it's the most supportive.
So open.
Like
yeah.
Everybody is like, we don't care like if it's your first time on stage or your 10,001st. We don't care what if you're singing, rapping, comedy. Some people just get up and talk real. But people are so supportive, and what happens is because people are supportive, the performers feel comfortable being a little bit more vulnerable than they would typically be, And that is, you know, that little crack is how the light gets in, as Leonard Cohen say. And it's beautiful.
So that's beautiful. So we do that once a month. And then I also started a series. So as I mentioned, I started DJing back in December. So, and I mostly spin all the really dope music come out of sub-Saharan Africa. So the bigger genres of like Afrobeats and Afro House, but even the smaller genres of Gom or as it's actually pronounced, Kuduro, Sugubu, Kwaito, all these really dope musics coming out of Ghana, Nigeria, Angola, South Africa. So I started a series called Afro House, H-A-U-S, in line with our branding. And we do that twice a month, again, at the Art Square Gallery. And similar vibe, Speak Your Truth, people just come out there. It's like, I wanted to create a space where everyone feels safe and comfortable. Women don't feel like they're being like preyed on and can just openly dance. There's no screw faces, and people come and dance their asses off, you know, because it's, again, it's at the art gallery, so it's not really a typical vibe. Right. It's no like bottle service and club. So yeah, we're spinning the music of the African diaspora. We do some, you know, little soca, little dance hall in there too, and it's a blessed vibe. So that's happening twice a month, every month, and then the open mic night is once a month. And you can find all that stuff. We have a House Orpheus Facebook page and Instagram page, and we're always updating. And Afro House actually has its own Instagram as well. So maybe we can post the links to that.
Oh, yeah.
This interview.
It'll be in the show notes for sure.
Yeah. So those are like, you know, we can be part of this very vibrant, diverse community. And we do some bigger events called House Orpheus Presents about every couple months, too. Yeah. And so it's wonderful. Like, it's like we've really been able to build this community, create spaces, and proactively be able to do all the things we stand for, like in the city, you know.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah,
I should come to one of those open mic.
Oh
nights.
Yeah, please
bust
please.
Out my Baroque clarinet style.
Oh,
wait, you got a Baroque clarinet, homie?
No, oh no, I just have a regular clarinet, but I like to say that I play Baroque.
Play
music
a little Bach
because
on there.
It's,
I started out on clarinet. I got
all
a little
over the place.
My pinky's nice.
Yeah, nice. Nice. I'm more of a guitar player myself, but
hey, you can bust out some Bach on guitar.
I dabble once in a while.
Yo, you got to come proper though. There's a lot of guitar players out there. We're not coming on that, you know. Yeah. I mean, we'll talk.
As a tough haul, the guitar. There's always somebody better out there. But okay, so I asked you some questions about your future, but maybe you have some questions about your future that we can consult the cards about.
I saw that tarot deck.
I was pretty
about that.
What? Yo.
You're really up my alley.
Is that
right
what's
now.
Really going on?
Yeah,
are
there's
going to
be
do
some
a tarot,
tarot
reading.
Yeah, man. This is the best.
Yeah, welcome
this
to
best
Crystal Ballroom.
I've ever been on.
Buns, but it's good to know the Wild West days aren't totally over.
Oh no, we still got some roots in
there. There's
in the
a
craziness.
Tarot deck. I want to know.
Delicious beer.
Oh Jesus!
Can I come
what
back like next week, please? Yeah. Just hang out here.
Yeah, we'll just turn this into a weekly party.
Yeah.
There you go. Just.
I'm down. I'll bring my oracle cards. We'll have a good time.
Think of something that you would like to ask. It doesn't have to be about the music or the band. I'll let you do the spiel.
Yeah, Vanessa.
Yeah, it's been so while since I've done the spiel. I don't know if I remember it.
You're not a doctor or a lawyer.
Yeah. Not a doctor or a lawyer, so none of those questions, but you can ask anything that's sort of like an open-ended, like not just like a plain like yes, no, but something that sort of is an option that you are facing or like a decision to be made, or just any general questions about like what lies ahead, basically about anything that you want.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, we've had people ask us about their love lives, their sort of home life, whether or not they should move to a new place. Obviously, a lot of people have asked us about the music and maybe their upcoming recordings or tours or what have you. It's kind of all over the map. So you can, whatever you'd like to know about, we can consult the fates for you.
For sure. What are you thinking, John? I'm a bit,
I'm sending out a lifeline right now. I'm asking
what to ask.
You guys caught me unawares.
I know, me too.
So we can ask about anything.
Anything you want.
Yeah. Kind of yo, our music,
that's good. It can be any question at all.
Yeah. And generally, I always suggest, like, if someone's like, I have no idea, like, what's the first thing that popped into your head? Like, that's usually the most pressing thing that's, like, bubbling around your brain. So
will Factor give us like a boatload of money to make our album.
That's so if you just want to give those cards like a quick
give
shuffle.
It a good
a quick
forgot,
shuffle?
I forgot that part.
Hold
yet.
On.
So it's like, think I guess about the question you want to ask. Like you could talk if you want. And just like focus your energy into the cards and shuffle until they feel shuffled, whatever that means to you.
You'll know when it's right.
Yeah, you'll know when it's right.
Yeah.
Bun's so mystical out in this.
I love it. This is the best turn in an intro. I saw you had. Oh, keep that one.
Yeah.
You got to keep yourself focused. I'll answer something though.
Yeah, focus on your focus. On your question. But so while we're waiting for this, why don't you tell us where people can check out all the music that you guys do?
Yeah, so we do have a website. It's www.johnorpheus.com. That's kind of the home for everything. You'll find a summary of everything, even all the House Orpheus stuff I'm talking about. So that's a good place to start. But, you know, we're on the typical stuff. We are on Spotify. We're on Apple Music. We're on Tidal, if anybody uses that still. you know, you can find us on SoundCloud, YouTube. We actually have quite a few videos. It's something that we've... In the last couple of years, like I said, we like to collaborate with and be in touch with a lot of different people. So we've worked with a lot of really great videographers, and the music we do is very dance friendly, no doubt about it. So right. We've worked with some pretty fucking incredible dancers over the last couple of years. So we had this video GGAF with this really dope, like all female dance crew Footnotes. They came through and did a little thing. We did a video for What You Call That Ting, and we had, just three like dope Afrobeats dancers. And then most recently, so we said we have this one Parachute. And so we had our friends, Miss Fabi, Fabiola, and Ed's Gianfi. So both of them are like two of the top dance hall dancers and teachers in this city, but also nationwide. And so they came up with a new version of the old 90s dance hall dance of the same name, Parachute, for us. So definitely check out the YouTube channel. All of those things, simply search for John Orpheus. That's for all of our stuff. That's all you got to type in, John Orpheus.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it looks like the cards have been shuffled.
The cards have
They're
been shuffled.
Yeah.
The fates have been asked.
Let's see what's
up. You need some tarot card pulling music.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. But also what I need is like the question. Ask the cards.
Summarize the question.
I want to ask the card. Hey. Their cards. I want to ask you. Will 2019... be the greatest year of our lives?
Whoa. Okay, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna pull three cards. A lot of spreads are done in like three cards. Or, like, threes are like a power number.
Yeah,
so true.
Nine cards. Or, like,
there's three people in our group. By the way, we should say that. Big shout out to Chanel Matisse, who lives in Kitchener. So we didn't make her like come here for this, but there are three people in the group.
She's an epic singer, dancer, adds the spice to our group, and is absolutely a wonderful human being.
As one person, as our friend who is directing a reality series, shout out to Gatta Jane, she wrote Chanel into it, and she said, Chanel in the reality show says, I'm gonna goddess so that everyone else can feel their inner goddess.
That's her.
Nice.
She's a real life goddess.
That's Chanel.
No doubt about
That's
it.
That's the most Chanel thing I
Anyways,
can say.
Anyways, side note on Chanel, sidebar.
Big up to three, the number three.
Yeah. So the first of the three cards is, what are the issues like in 2018 that are like leading up to 2019 that will sort of carry over and like speak to like what's going to be happening in 2019 for you?
Wow.
Well, okay. So speaking of like goddesses, the High Priestess is the card. This is a card that deals with like your inner mysticism, like your secrets, and like not necessarily like scary bad secrets, but just like the real like base truths that like are of like your existence and like your higher self, or like, you know, stuff that's like out there, like sort of, you know, esoteric.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, whether it's like stuff that you guys are dealing with like individually and like how that's like affecting the work that you do, or it's like it could be an actual presence of someone that like has this energy, this vibe, and sort of how they're like what their role is and like how you interact with them, like that's sort of what is going to flavor 2019. So
boom,
our inner mystics perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yo.
And like really getting in tune with that and like learning what that is and exploring that.
It sounds like you guys have been doing that already. So yeah, you're on the right track.
Very mystical humans.
I feel like this is just confirming what we've already talked about.
Yeah.
So this card is going to be sort of what is 2019 going to be like and kind of the things to look forward to or aim towards or like sort of the, yeah, like.
Boom. Big things.
So this is the Seven of Wands. This is a card about like coming against struggle and like being like your like fiercest fighter self. And like it's about like the push and pull of like dealing with something. So like, you know, musically it could be like reaching out for you know, support and like not getting it and being like, okay, so how do I get it instead in this situation? Or it could be like someone saying like, no, I don't, this is not good, and you having to like respond to that. I'm framing it sort of negatively, but it's not necessarily negative. It's just the like the natural like problem solving and like resistance.
It's about how do you respond? How do you respond to adversity? Sure. Is that it?
Yeah.
How do you respond to adversity? Is that?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And so it's not necessarily like a bad thing, but it's just like that type of like strength within you and how you're dealing with stuff that comes up. So
boom.
In the context of like what the year could be like, it's just like you guys navigating the space of like people liking you and people not liking you and how you deal with that, and like when problems arise, like how do you overcome them?
Don't be afraid to push to get what you want.
Yeah And then so this one, third card, is going to be what are the energies to try to avoid, to really like get the best out of the year and like maximize like what you can be getting. And so it's the Empress. So this is really interesting paired with the High Priest of this year, or Priestess of this year. The Empress is about like really physical stuff. It's about like your house and home and like nurturing things. So what it's actually saying is like, be very careful of being too comfortable. You want to be uncomfortable. You want to be pushed. You need to be careful of like creature comforts and like the sort of like hedonistic like enjoyment of things. Like there's work to be done, and you can like, you know, accept the reward, but don't be like, oh, like we've done all the hard work, like now it's time to party, now it's time to really like luxuriate and like enjoy the physical stuff. Like
stay a little hungry, I guess.
Yeah. Don't get lost in the 3D.
Yeah.
Not too many Buns beers.
No.
One maybe.
Yeah. So it's like it's a sort of the
Buns beers is the least of my worries.
What I'm seeing here is like right now you're doing a lot of like inner work that's gonna then be reflected into like outer work. And like be careful to like don't get soft.
Don't get soft. Good Lord. That's gangster, man.
So the cards are telling you.
The cards is talking.
That's your energy.
Yeah, that's me.
That's your energy you put in those cards.
I'm like, it makes a lot of sense. I'm not confused about any of that.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to like dig into or?
So it's the High Priestess, the Seven of Wands. And the Empress. And the High Priestess is about the inner journey and doing sort of that inner work. And that's the prep leading up to the new year.
Yeah.
And the Seven of Wands is your response to adversity and how resilient you are. Mm-hmm. And then the Empress is the warning to not get too comfortable, not engaged, to not luxuriate in the rewards too much, and to stay hard. I like it.
Yep. keep it moving.
Do you think it makes sense?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I like the High Priestess card. I think about, like, I spend a lot of time, and this summer I've been spending a lot of time thinking about, you know, I have a lot about next year and all the things that are coming, and there's a lot coming, and thinking about, I need to spiritually prepare myself for what's coming. So that makes sense. The Seven of Wands is just like, I mean, I think for my entire life, that's probably a very relevant card in terms of like, you know, things are usually challenging, and it's kind of like, how do you respond to it determines, you know, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? And then the Empress is just, that's critical, because for me, it's like, there's always an opportunity to just feel like, yo, I've done all this work, and, you know, when do I get to enjoy it? Like, right. Oh, this is my chance to enjoy from this work I've done. But it's kind of like, on the other side of that, it's that, you know, as soon as you go down that path too much, you realize, oh man, like, I may have done a lot of work, but I'm not where I set out to be yet.
And I feel like kind of the best music comes from a little bit of strife. You know, like you really feel it when that the music is imbued with that. And I think it kind of makes sense to be a little bit hungry.
Yeah, well, it's got to be real, I feel. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, that's life. Life, a real life is a life that has, you know, valleys and peaks. And you only appreciate one because you have the other.
Right.
So we do it.
Well, I think what that means is you're going to have to come back at some point in 2019 and tell me
what's good,
how comfortable you've been living.
Yo, man, I've been bathing in champagne.
Just getting super soft.
I'm ready.
But okay.
No resilience at all. I'm just giving in. What do you got? I'll take it.
Nice.
Just put me in the Buns Brew vat and I'll just throw me in.
Nice. So the last question that we ask everybody is, we're not there yet.
You guys should do the bag.
That's right. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit out of practice. We have a little magic bag here.
Hey.
Filled with questions from previous guests, and we're going to ask you to add a question to it at the end of this. So think of a question that you'd want to ask future guests.
Yeah.
But we'll do a little lightning round. We'll each pull one, and then we'll get you to answer the questions.
All right.
I jumped the gun on that last question thing.
Yeah, you did.
Why you gotta trying to get rid of us? He's like, they're going to drink all the beer. Let's get them out.
No, drink so it. Drink it. Also, I don't have to.
Questions in our hands, or posing them to other people.
No, so right now.
Roundtable discussion.
This is a good one. Roundtable
discussion.
So, as an example, this question comes from Flakes, who we actually met at Way Home 2017.
Flakes.
Well, I don't think this one's come up yet in the
DJ.
In any of the episodes.
He wants to know, do you like pineapple on your pizza? And if so, what's wrong with you? But. Yeah, so the question is, do you like pineapple on your pizza? And you say?
Sometimes, yeah.
I like pineapple on everything.
Okay, so we got two.
Including pizzas.
We got two yeses. It's very divisive, the whole pineapple on pizza
thing. I've heard this, but I think that's confusing because pizza is delicious. Pineapple is delicious. Together at last. I mean, how can you fail, really?
There you go. You heard it here, definitively.
Definitively
pineapple on pizza.
The people who don't like it are the weirdos. This one say, what was the first show you bombed? Yo, son, I'm not going to tell you what year it is because you're going to think I'm old, but I'm in Stratford, Ontario.
Yeah.
I'm playing in a bluesy rock and roll band called the Stone Prophets, but we're kind of wild, so sometimes the punk shows ask us to play because we're kind of wild,
right?
So it's a three-piece. Is on drums Mr. Wayne Bond, born in Manchester, raised up in Kitchener, but he's still got the Manchester accent, right?
Oh, nice.
And he's like this little guy, like Mick Jagger small, but when he plays drums, it's just like, it just sounds so loud. And you're like, how is this like guy who looks like he's 12 make so much noise? And then Jay Walsh, who was a guitar player like insane guitar player, just really good. And he just like smashes stuff, plays with his teeth. Like he's just too good at guitar. He's good at guitar, he's bored. But he likes to, you know, a lot of antics. And then me on bass and singing. So we get to Stratford. There's 18 bands on the bill because it's a punk show. And that's what they do, DIY punk show. It was like, we're there at 2 because that's sound check. And these guys say to us, you're not playing till like 9:30.
Oh.
So we're standing outside. We're just like, I don't know if you've been to Stratford, Ontario. It's not all Shakespeare and pretty rivers.
Right, yeah.
There's
yeah.
a lot of crystal meth. Or back then, it was probably not crystal meth, but there's a lot of drugs. And so we're standing in a triangle, and Wayne Bond is looking at, we're all bored. Yeah. Wayne looks at us and goes, Jay, is there a liquor store in Stratford? And he was like, yeah, probably. So like, where did all these sketchy people get sketched out? So we go get like the 2-liter bottle of the Magnum.
Oh, yeah.
Of red wine. And we stand in a triangle and we just go sip, pass, sip, pass, sip, pass. Woo. Like 9:30 came really fast and we were still wrecked.
Oh, no.
It was like, I remember just not being, like, my bass was out of tune, and I was too drunk to tune it. I didn't remember songs. It was just the messiest, shittiest show of
Perfect
all time.
Perfect for a punk show, though. But you fit in with everyone else.
No. It was so bad that the terrible punk bands were looking at us like, you guys are awful.
I see you've had experience with the Empress before.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the first show that I ever bombed. It may be the last, too, because after that, I was just
lesson
like,
learned.
Yeah, I was just like, no, you can't go on stage and do that because my grandmother would not be proud of me up in heaven. So there you go.
And you?
Story.
Oh, okay, well, my mother is present, but I'm still going to tell the story anyway.
Are you answering your question? You answered mine.
Oh, wait, are we answering?
Answering my worst,
I ever bombed a show? Well, I didn't bomb a show, but I had a really embarrassing moment where I just stopped, and it actually happened in this band. And it was this year. It was early on in the year. And so so we were playing in Kitchener, and we were playing this fundraiser, and it was so funny because it was for a room full of like middle-aged white people that were like very confused but very interested. Like we won them over quickly because we're just extra as fuck on stage, and had them speak in Trini in like 10 minutes. But anyways, so we had this huge, big, amazing Indian food meal, and I wanted some help digesting the meal. So I'm one of those people that like some people can smoke weed and they turn into these amazing artists. I become like just a potato often when I smoke weed. So I don't drink or smoke. I'm always very sober when I play. Because I'm sitting there like, because, you know, you lose sense of temporality when you're high. And I'm the one holding down everything. And I also run a backing track, click track, everything for our band.
Oh, wow.
I'm using four limbs, playing all these African polyrhythms. So, you know, I got to be on top of my shit. So I don't usually do anything before. But I was really full. And we had like 2.5-3 hours before. So I took one toke and got pretty blazed. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to have enough time to completely be fine. So for the first time in the history of music performances anywhere in the world, they put us on over an hour early.
Oh,
wow. They put us on early.
The Germans.
Which is like, I mean, that never happens. You're late, if anything. So I'm like, oh, shit.
So it happens when Germans run a show. It's on time.
And so I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm doing like all these breathing exercises. I'm trying to ground my energy because I'm like, I'm way too high to do all this stuff. But I had to go on stage and literally this one, we started with the most physically demanding song for me. It got to this one part and I just stopped. My limbs just shut down and I just stopped moving for like 10 seconds, like could not move any of my limbs. And then like,
hallelujah.
Then 10 minutes after that, so I cue our backing tracks. I have a little Korg like keyboard pedal and just step on it to cue the tracks. If you step on it again, though, the track stops and you can't start it again. Yeah. Like it's so. I was trying to do this cool
the
dance.
The jam was going good.
The jam
it
was
going
dope. Great right after I. And then I stand up to do this cool dance. We would look cool. And I sit back down and step on the freaking pedal and cut the backing track. So, and like our setup is just three of us. So like if I stop the track, there's no one else.
And then
there's
we like, nothing. We really didn't know what was going on. So me and she, we're just like, okay, we're just going to keep doing this. And it was hilarious.
Yeah, so there is a reason why I do not smoke weed before performances, and so that was the only time where I really.
In our defense, we learned from our mistakes.
But we recovered, and honestly, no one really knew that it was a thing. But it was just like I've never frozen on stage.
People had a great time.
They
thought
regardless. They were,
I think the like biggest demarcation point between an amateur and a professional musician isn't whether or not you make mistakes, but how you deal with
how
those mistakes.
Yeah.
Seven of Wands, baby.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, well, calling back to the cards. Okay, so what's your question?
Okay, my question is from Kalia, not Kayla, Kalia from Angora, from April 17th, 2017. It says, would you rather have a perfect memory or perfect hearing? So I'm not really sure what perfect hearing means. I guess just really exceptional.
Wow.
Hearing. To me, like perfect memory is pretty amazing. Perfect hearing, I'm not sure what that means. So
yeah, I don't. One? You see, hear the ting. Both of those sound great, but here's the thing. If you have a perfect memory, you remember all the good stuff perfectly, but you remember the bad stuff perfectly. And let me tell you, there's a lot of shit. I'm
shit
happy I can't remember.
I say that every time this question comes up. There's a reason people say time heals all wounds, and it's because you forget.
You forget. Would you like to remember like your first love heartbreak? Would you like to remember every pang and pain and everything you liked about? No, I won't forget them. Hell, I won't forget all of it. The perfect hearing thing. Ooh. Well, what does it mean? First of all, does it mean perfect pitch? Does it mean rhythm? Does it mean I can hear 2 miles away? I can be like, yo, it's the seven of wands. You know, like that's a big thing. And the big thing about that is, can you shut it off?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've got like perfect hearing, like you hear everything for miles and miles and you can't shut it off.
Yeah.
Well,
you probably go crazy.
I live in Cabbage Town, dog. That's noisy.
Yeah.
It's noisy now without perfect hearing. So I'm going to say it's pitch and yes.
Yeah, same thing for me. Because even just like this idea of wanting to have a perfect memory goes back to this idea of attachment, of like needing to like hoard all of your experiences and like carry on to them. And it's like, you know, we all have things, but it's like that tendency as humans, we have that a lot. I try to. You know, the Buddhists got it right. You know, attachment is the root of all suffering. And I do believe that. So I don't ever want a perfect memory. I want to be able to release myself and move on and move forward and not stay clung to everything.
I feel like having a perfect memory is probably a curse.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
No,
if something happens, an accident happens, and they ask 10 witnesses, they get 10 different stories. Because no one has perfect memory. But if you had perfect memory, you'd be like Cassandra in Troy. I don't know if y'all know your Greek history, but I'm fitting to learn you. So in the Iliad, which is about the Greeks besieging the city of Troy and the Trojan horse and all of that, Cassandra is a daughter of King Priam of Troy, and she is cursed with a very unique thing. She sees the future accurately, but when she tells people, no one ever believes her. So she sees that the Greeks are coming, and she's like, oh, man, we can't let them go over to Greece. And then they come back with Helen, and she's like, this girl is going to ruin our city, and we should get rid of her. And they're like, no, you're crazy. And then the Greeks come, and they're fighting, and they leave the Trojan horse on the beach, and she's like, you should burn this thing. It's coming. This is bad. And everybody's like, Cassandra, be quiet. And, of course, the Trojan horse is full of Greeks, and they party. They bring it into the city, and they ruin the city. I feel like perfect memory will be like you're the one person that actually remembers what actually happened, and no one believes you because no one else does.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think there's just way too much to go wrong with perfect memory.
Yeah. Dangerous. Yeah. Dangerous.
What do you got for us? Into the microphone.
Yeah, sorry. So this one's from Ted of
Snoqualmie.
Snoqualmie.
Word.
I always have trouble with that. How much do you love the Rivoli?
Oh, my God.
Yo, props to the Rivoli. I just made plans to go to the Rivoli next week.
today, like just like an hour before I got here. So I'm jumping on your question, but that's going to be like I guess I can't say anything less than an 8.5.
Yeah, yes. I think the Rivoli is a great venue. I've played there. I've played there a couple times. And
I've seen some comedy there.
They've got some. Like, really? I think it's nice. A great room. They've got really good sound. Yeah, I think the Rivoli is a great venue. And they've got like the front room if you want to get all the pool, and I'll get that on. But yeah, the back room, I think that was actually one of the top contenders for the Goat Life release party we had. We were barking up their tree trying to see what they were saying. So,
right. Like so that. You guys are all into the Rivoli.
Pro Rivoli.
Nice. Okay. Last question of the evening is, actually, hold on, sorry. I keep jumping the gun, but we need a question from you for the bag.
For the bag?
Yeah, for the bag. What would you like to ask future guests of this show?
Oh, we got to decide right now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's easy.
What is it?
Have you heard Goat Life?
I was going to say the same thing, actually.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, you can have that one. I got more.
I like that. Just add it to the bag. Have you heard Goat Life?
I'm going to ask.
Promotion 101.
Okay, we're going to do Have You Heard Goat Life? And I want to add one that Much Music icon Master T asked us in the last interview we did. He said, rapid fire, Prince or Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
And Prince. So that's the question.
That was all of ours, Prince. Yeah.
Clearly it's Prince, but you know, there's some people who don't like pineapples on their pizza. Yeah. So
well, I mean, I appreciate Michael Jackson isn't a bad answer. I mean, I can appreciate that too.
No, it's like you can't go wrong, but the right answer is Prince.
I feel like the like older, whiter version of that question is like the Beatles or Elvis. Because most people are in one camp or the other.
It's the Beatles or the Stones, dog. That's the real question.
I feel like, it's always the Beatles, no matter what.
It's always the Beatles?
Hell no.
I'm going to take the Stones and the bottle of whiskey.
But that's because you're a showman, though. I feel like in your heart, you're a showman. Yeah. And Mick Jagger's definitely a showman.
You don't think, Mick Jagger's the best lead singer out of the bunch. But don't get me wrong, I love the Beatles. Yeah. But I'm just saying. The Stones, they were just realer.
Okay. I mean, I get that.
They were blacker. Stones was blacker.
That's probably true.
That's a whole podcast in itself.
That's a whole podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, the Stones versus the Beatles. Although John Lennon had his moments, but yeah, the Stones were blacker.
You know what? We're going to have to get into how black the Stones were the next time.
How black the Stones were.
We have you on.
Dope. You know what? If you want to find out how black the Stones were, I'm going to answer you right now. There is YouTube, the piano version of Tumbling Dice.
Okay.
And it's Mick and Keith and their live and their backing band. And they're just standing there playing piano, singing Tumbling Dice. Yo.
Well, you that's pause the episode right now and watch
black,
it.
Black it and collard greens.
Yeah.
We're going to put a link to that YouTube video in the post.
In the show notes. Yeah. 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 For sure.
So. Oh, if you can't find it, holla at me. I'm going to get it for you.
Okay. But I will do that.
That's the ting.
So, last question. For real this time.
What? This is the fourth last question. Yeah. What's going on?
No. I keep wanting to ask this question, but then I realized that there's more that we need to ask. The last question is, at the end of this episode, what song would you like us to play from Goat Life?
Oh, I thought it was going to be a buns you question about it. Any you trades that we've
yo,
done.
Yo, bun trade. What's your
buns
trade?
I was ready
trade?
With my buns trade questions. I've done some pretty dope
yo,
trades.
Yo, I got racist on buns. I was like looking for an apartment because I had a fire. And this girl was like, yeah, okay, sounds great. But can you send me a picture of yourself?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I was like, but why? And I was like, okay, here's my picture. And then she's like, sorry, I gave it away. And I was just like,
no, you didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, it happened. Come on. It's not Bun's.
No, I'm saying she
it's
didn't.
It's not Bun's fault.
She didn't give it away.
No, she didn't give it away.
She's just like, nah.
But then I'm like, you know, if you're like that, it's better I know now.
Right.
Yeah. So I wasn't mad.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the thing. So the question is.
The song we're going to play.
You call it. I'm going to leave that one alone.
You know what? Honestly, my favorite song on the record is the titular track, Goat Life. It's pretty dark and grimy. It's got a little bit of Yeezus vibes in it.
Titular.
And, I really love it.
Go it live.
Yeah, and it's a bit different from us. It's definitely a flavor of us, but yeah. A lot of our stuff is like really fun, high energy, poppy, like Caribbean, Afrobeats, dancey, and this is a bit of a different flavor.
It's dark.
It's a bit more dark
it's
and intellectual.
It's dark and tempestuous.
Okay.
Tempestuous. Ooh.
It's a little bit of the Empress card, if I might say so myself. But you know what? If you're gonna play that track, I don't know if you guys can do it, but we have a lyric video for it, and the lyrics are key.
Okay.
To the Empress vibes. Boom.
What I'll do is I will put a link to the video in the show notes as well. And I'll even just tack on the lyrics at the end of the show notes. So anyone who's listening, you can just open your favorite podcast app, look at the notes, and read along with the song.
That's Thank beautiful. You, Jesus.
All right. Thank well, you. Thanks for being here, guys. And
yo,
this was great.
Yo, high fives. Thank you for the mystery beer, yeah. The Buns beer.
Yo, look out for that Buns beer.
Buns beer. It's in a can. It's got no names on it. If you see a silver can with no names on it, and it's a dark, nice IPA, that Buns brew.
All right. Well, good luck with 2019. And I hope that you don't fall prey too much to the Empress.
No. The Empress done. Bun that. I got wands. Yo, is that wands or swords?
Those are wands.
Whoa, it's the wizard in the bush ting. Jeez. All right, bless up, yo. Big up, Buns.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, I am a witch. I want to be rich like a Saudi princess. Go, day. Elevate, desecrate, elevate, pop pill, elevate, desecrate, elevate.